stand with us. Mr. Larry is going to lead us in our song, Jesus Loves Me.
I'm glad he didn't tell us to take this to the funeral home where we're going. All right. Good morning. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but we are strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you. Great singing, and welcome to the Victory Bible class. We are sure glad to have you here today. This is the day the Lord has made. We will, now don't say it unless you mean it. We will. Oh, we got a lot of rejoicing people in here. Good, good. We rejoice and be glad. We got some rejoicing and some glad people in here. Oh, great. And you know why? Because he created this day and he let you be a part of it. And he didn't have to do that, but he graced us. He blessed us with another day of life. And we got to be people of thanks and people of praise. And I hope we can get our day started off with that verse comes to my mind quite often. Every morning when I get up, I like to think of it. Get my day started off, because we know there's going to be challenges during the day that are going to be the antithesis of what that verse says. Isn't that right? It's called, life. Yes, life happens, doesn't it? Does life happen to you? Man, I wish y'all could see yourself sometime. Y'all look so serious. Like, life happens, doesn't it, folks? This is the day the Lord has made. Man, we got something to rejoice and be glad about. And if we stop to count our blessings, how about that? Well, thank you for singing Jesus Loves Me. What a great verse. Hey, if you got your, let me grab this first. Let's see if that one. I know. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Oh, boy. All right. We're going to. Hey, if you have your phone and you want to take a picture of the next slide, don't take a picture of this one. This is bad, okay? If you want to grab your phone and take a picture of the next slide, you're certainly welcome to, or jot it down and remember it, because we have one of our class members having a procedure coming up this week, and we want to pray for him. And so I've got it on the slide here. Mark Carter is going to be going to UVA on, I believe, Tuesday or whatever day that is. So I want us to be praying for Mark. He had this week, he had 60 pounds of fluid drawn off in a couple of different sessions. That's a lot, folks. It's a lot. And Mark's going to UVA this week. He's listening with us. Mark, hello, joining in. Thank you for being on the internet with us. And we're praying for you, brother. And so I want us to be praying on the 23rd as Mark goes to UVA. I see a hand. Yes, Teddy, yes. Okay, so the name Teddy Lewis is on your prayer list already, and his cancer is metastasizing, so please pray for Teddy as well, all right? Does Teddy have any procedures coming up?
Yeah, he's got CT scan.
Whenever that's going to be, the week before, let me know, and I'll put him up here, okay? Because we want to make this slide here as something that's coming up this week that we're praying for on a certain day. Does that make sense? All right. I'm sorry. The flood series coming up. The geology of the flood, Genesis chapter 6 and 7. I've been reading through that. I've read it through more than once this week. I hope you're reading through Genesis 6 and 7. Let's get that in our minds as we get ready to look at flood geology. All right. So that's coming up in October. If you're visiting with us at Victory Bible Class, we certainly thank you for being here today. Hope this class is a blessing to you. Our goal for you coming in this class and for joining us on the internet is that you leave different than how you came in. You leave either having learned something, having had a truth that you already know more solidified into your life, or just being encouraged. And that's our goal in this class. And we sure hope we can do that for you. And so we thank you for being with us. Our mission slide, Please keep our missionaries in mind as you go throughout your week and they come across your mind. Miss Summer has a surgery coming up. It's going to be in October. I'll have her on that other slide the week before that happens, so we'll make sure to have her up there. But just know she's got health procedures coming up. And our other two missionaries are in their respective countries doing their mission work. So let's pray for them as they come across your mind. We got some birthdays and anniversaries. All right, birthdays. Happy birthday this week to Miss Renee, Terry Edward. Terry, I thought you quit having birthdays. I guess you did. Okay. Put a big old red X through Terry's. I thought so. And Miss Estelle. So happy birthday to you three. Anybody else? Any birthdays? Birthdays this week? Anybody stop having them this week? Okay, yeah. Anniversaries. The Prillharts, 41. Wow. Happy anniversary. And Jason and Holly, 13. Bob and Karen Smith, 54. 54. So happy anniversary to you three. Any anniversaries? Do we miss anyone? Don't want to miss anyone. All right. Guest host David Harrison is going to be speaking for us today. And his topic is going to be, and there were handouts on the back table, by the way, at the sign-in sheets. Sign-in sheets look different. Just find your name, put an X there, or a check mark or something. Don't worry about the way they look. That's our new software system. Prints them out a little differently, I guess. But David will be speaking with us for us today. If you need a handout, I'll be glad to walk around and hand some of those out if you need one, if we have some extras. And David's topic is a very timely one, and before we pray, I'm going to put a slide up, and I'm just going to leave that up here for the duration. And, you know, it dawned on me, I don't know, a while back, that the biggest problem that I think Christians have with this topic, with depression, is admitting that we have it. That is probably our biggest challenge. Some of us, all of us come from different backgrounds, some of us have been programmed from the time we were little, the way we were brought up, not in a way not to deal correctly with this topic. And some of us have never, probably, you know, even at our age, we've just never really got a good grasp of how to deal with this. You know what? That's going to change today, though, because we have a brother who's going to stand up and really lay it out for us and be an encouragement to us, and I'm so excited about hearing this. So let's go through let me do our prayer updates right quick. We'll pray, and then David, you'll come on. And all right, one prayer update. Dale Ford, complications from heart procedure. So that was given to us by David Pruitt. So we'll remember Dale. All right, and I've already mentioned some others with some health concerns. So there's others on your list I didn't mention, but they're on the prayer sheet. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then David, you come and speak to us. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for the Victory Bible class. We give you thanks for the time we can carve this time out every week. We can gather together around your word. We can share our burdens with each other. The Bible says that we pray for each other. We're to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And we're able to do that. We know life is just not perfect. We know we have challenges in life. We have things that go sideways. And that's really what our prayer sheet is about. And we have health procedures that are going on with our class members and family and friends of our class members. We have cancer. We have heart issues. We have surgeries coming up. And may we, as we go through our day, and you bring these things across our minds, may we be diligent to pray for each other and pray for our missionaries, the three missionaries that I've listed on our slides. And there are others, of course, too. And we want to pray for our class today, that this class will be a blessing to those on the internet and to those who are here. And we're dealing with a very timely topic, a topic that touches every single person here, whether we ever want to face up to it and admit it or not. Every one of us deals with this topic. And I pray for Brother David. Just bless him. Speak through him. Give him the verses that we need. Give him the words that we need. And may we all leave out of here more encouraged than when we came in. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Appreciate it so much. Amen. Open your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. And if you don't have a copy of the notes, there's some on the back tables. And guys, if you'll get those, if you'll grab what's left and hold your hand up, these guys will make sure you get a copy I want to thank Brother Graham for giving me this Sunday to kind of finish what we started last week. If you weren't here last week, we dealt with the topic of suffering. Is it satanic or is it sovereign? Does God bring the suffering or does the devil bring the suffering? And we didn't get it all covered, but if you don't have the notes, if you weren't here, if you'll just let me know, give me your email address, I'll send you the notes. And then I also offered to send the book that I wrote, that Brother Graham read, that's got all this started, me doing this topic on satanic or sovereign suffering, where it comes from. And I've got that book. I don't have them. I don't have any physical copies. I'm out, and I'm not going to order any more from my publisher in London, Ontario, because I've changed publishers. But I do have it in PDF form, which is like Kindle. So if you'd like to have a copy, if you'll just let me know and give me your email address, and I'll be sure to send it to you. And I think I sent out, I don't know, 7 or 8 this week, and then sent out some notes to some people online. And also, I copied, downloaded the message from last week, put it on my Facebook page, and I think there's over 600 views. So to say that suffering is something that Christians don't deal with is a farce, because a lot of Christians suffer. And I've never done what I did this time, but I called Brother Graham after I was studying for this message on suffering, and I told him, I said, I really feel compelled of the Holy Spirit that I need to deal with the topic today, because many folks that suffer and some that don't suffer as far as physical issues and things of that nature deal with depression. And having pastored 5 different churches and been preaching over 50 years, I have dealt with multitudes of people in fundamental independent Baptist churches that are really suffering depression. And so many people take depression as a topic in the church and just brush it off. The attitude is just shake it off, you know, get over it. Just need to pray more. Read your Bible more and you'll be okay. But somebody has ever been in depression. I'm not talking about just having a down day where you're kind of discouraged. I'm talking about deep, dark depression that's a hole. If you've ever dealt with that, then you know it's not as easy to get out of as most folks would think. And then a lot of folks look down on people with depression as though you're not spiritual or sin in your life. Like they said to Job, you must have sinned. And some of those things may be true, because depression, and I wrote this down, this is not in your notes, but if you want to take some notes, there's 3 basic divisions of what causes depression or where depression comes from. Number one, it can be biological. In other words, it can be a physical problem. There are people that have chemical imbalances that cause depression, and they need a physician's care. And we all know that. And there's some of you may have family members that have suffered biological depression, and it's some hormone imbalance, some chemical imbalance, and that does require a physician's care. And then their second one is circumstantial depression. Circumstances, circumstantial. Things that cause us to be depressed. It could be physical. It could be the fact of somebody getting cancer, a heart attack, or being given a terminal diagnosis. Could be financial. Somebody could lose everything they've got, their business. Homes could break up. Someone goes through a sad divorce. Children go through a breakup of mom and dad. So circumstances can cause depression. And then the third one is spiritual. You can get under such spiritual attack and face the combaters of hell and demonic attack that it can cause you to be depressed. Now, one thing that we do have to lean on, and I'm going to try to be as biblical today, more so than I would be if I was just teaching a class out in the public, because we, as fundamental believers, believe that our answer is in the Word of God. Amen? So if we're going to do anything, we're going to have the Word of God to back it up. And the Word of God gives us a host of people, Old Testament and New Testament, that suffered major depression. One of them was Elijah. Look in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. We know the story of Elijah. Elijah had prayed and the rain was turned off from the nation of Israel because of the judgment of God. And God says, you've got the power to turn it back on. And for 3.5 years, he was in hiding. So he comes out of hiding. He prays after the conflict there, as he met with the false prophets of Baal, and God sent the fire down, consumed the sacrifice in chapter 18. You know the story. And then in chapter 19, wicked Jezebel, the wife of the king, she says, I'm going to kill you before the day's over. So in verse 1, chapter 19, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, If I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, left his servant there. He himself, when the day's journey into the wilderness came, sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. I'm not better than thy fathers. Elijah went through dark depression. A lot of causes, we're going to talk about it. Elijah was one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament, one of my favorite prophets in the Old Testament. A man of vigor, a man of power, a man of courage. But one woman, Jezebel, with her threat, put such a fear in him that he ran to the desert for his life. And he isolated himself, and I'm going to speak about that just for a little bit, because when he got to a certain place, he left his servant and went the rest of the way by himself. So he's all alone, and he's going through this desire to die and asking God to kill him. So let's start with this. Look in your notes. Psalms 42:11 says, why art thou cast down, O soul? And David dealt with depression. And a lot of his verses use this same, why is your soul cast down? There's a phrase in the Bible, God doesn't use the word depression in the Bible, but he uses the word, like in Isaiah 61:3, that's not in your notes, but you can make a reference to that, Isaiah 61:3. He gave us garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The Bible refers to depression as a spirit of heaviness, or he uses the word grief or sorrow, but there is depression in the Bible, it's just not called such. So what is depression? How's the definition? I put a definition. It's a prolonged emotional tone that dominates a person's outlook and mood. It changes every way you think. It changes everything. Everything looks negative. Nothing looks good. It's woe is me syndrome. It's the hee-haw song, gloom, despair, and agony on me to the nth degree. Everything's wrong. Nothing's good. Nothing's good. It's overwhelming. It's an inability to even think positive, no matter what anybody says. And I know because I've been there. I have been through deep, dark depression and dealt with it. And I know how sometimes preachers and Christians respond. I was going through a difficult time years ago when I was working with Brother Ralph Sexton. We were going to Washington, D.C. to set the big tent up there at the foot of Washington Monument. And he and I had been in 90 churches in 90 days raising money and support for the trip to Washington. Now imagine 90 churches in 90 days. We were both physically and mentally exhausted. Beside that, there was this spiritual attack that had come against him and had come against me. I got so depressed, my wife will testify to this, that I told my deacons at the church I was pastoring, we had a pretty large church, about 400. I told my deacons, I said, I'm taking some time off. I don't know when I'll be back. You can do like you want to, keep things going. You can shut the church down. I really don't care. I'm going to take some time off. I got to get a hold of this. And I locked myself in my bedroom for weeks. Brother Ralph and his wife, Musette, came to visit me. My wife knocked on the door and said, Brother Ralph's here, and his wife. I said, tell him I don't want to see him. And he was my best friend. But I finally came out. We talked, and I was pretty mean and ugly to him. But he understood I was in a deep place. One night when it finally came to a head, my wife and the kids had gone to prayer meeting. And after they left, I got in my pickup truck, grabbed a fishing rod and a minnow bucket, and my pistol, and I took off to High Rock Dam, where you could walk out on the rocks and fish. I stopped at the place to get some minnows, and I was crying, I was shaking, I was out of control. The devil had got me to a point, I was so deep in depression that I thought there was no hope. And so I was in there, and the lady said, are you okay? I said, I'm okay, just give me the minnows, please, just give me the minnows. And I got to the rocks, and I climbed out on the rocks, and I couldn't even put a minnow on the hook. I was weeping, I was crying out to God, and nothing was coming from heaven. There was no sound from heaven. God wasn't answering, I thought. And I heard a voice as clear as my voice is this morning. The devil spoke just as clear as I'm sitting here. And he says, look what serving God has got you. This is what serving God is worth. Why, you're never going to preach again. And even if you stand up in the pulpit, you're going to curse God and be a babbling fool. You're through. He said, they're going to find your body washed upstream. Said, even if you live through this, your ministry's over. The best thing you could do for your family and your church is take your life. And I had my pistol with me, very well intended to take my life. But God intervened. I came home that night, went to bed as usual. I woke up, it was 5 minutes after 6. And something was different. For the first time in weeks, I wasn't hurting. My mind was clear. And I watched the clock for 20 minutes because I thought either I'm dead or I'm dying. I'm serious. And I watched it for 20 minutes. I said, I must be dead. But after 20 minutes, I said, no, the clock's still moving. So I got up. I told my wife, I'm going to take a shower. Can you fix me some breakfast? And she was startled because that's the first time I'd done that in weeks. I got a shower. She fixed me breakfast. And I said, I think I want to go to church today, work a little bit in the office. I know she was shocked. She said, that'd be good. Get out of the house a little bit. I walked in my office. I went into my secretary's office, and she was like she'd seen a ghost. I called her by her name, and she said, hey, preacher, how are you? I said, I'm okay. I said, I'm going to work in the office a little bit. As soon as I got in my office, I heard her scampering down the hallway to my assistant pastor. I heard her say, preacher's here. Wasn't long. My assistant pastor said, hey, preacher, how you doing? I said, I'm okay. It's like nothing had happened. I've been out for weeks. I said, you want to go get some lunch in a little while? He said, yeah, that'd be good. Then I heard him go down the hall to my youth pastor, the preacher that was here Sunday night, Tim Cruz. He said, the preacher's here. He said, so he came up too, same thing. I said, do you want to go to lunch with us? So we went to lunch. I worked about all day. I went home that evening. We had supper just as normal. Nothing wrong. Nobody saying anything. I'm not saying anything. We're sitting in our bedroom in our bed watching the NBA playoffs. And I'm eating popcorn. And my wife finally says, what happened? And I said, I don't know. Don't ask questions. I just know for right now things are good. And let's just leave it at that. For days, I couldn't figure out what had happened because I hadn't prayed myself out of that. Brother Graham, I hadn't read my Bible out of that. I hadn't sung myself out of depression. Months later, I found out what happened, and God revealed it. Brother Ralph Sexton Sr., blessed man of God from Asheville, pastored Trinity for years. Ralph Sexton Sr., one of the dearest men I ever knew. He had got under a burden during that time for me, and he had fasted in his office on his face for 48 hours straight, came out only to go to the bathroom. His wife brought him liquids, and he fasted for 48 hours for me. And he later told me face to face, he said, God showed me that Satan had put a target on your back for destruction. And he said, I prayed that God would allow you to get through this battle. I had two preachers I'd ordained, the Perry boys, D.C. and J.L. is what they were called. They got under a burden, and they fasted for 7 days. The same thing, that God would deliver me out of it. And when I finally asked God, I said, God, how did I get through this depression? Because I had no desire to read my Bible. I had no desire to hear preaching. I had no desire to go to church. I just wanted to stay in my room. Everybody leave me alone. He gave me the verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. I said, Lord, how is my inward man renewed? Because I didn't do anything. And here's what the Holy Spirit showed me. He said, through the prayers of others. Did you hear what I said? Through the prayers of others. Don't ever downplay if the Holy Spirit wakes you up in the night and puts somebody on your heart. Don't downplay that. They may be in the worst battle they've ever faced. And you may be the one that gets them through their darkest hour. The prayers of others. So from that day forward, I have invested my entire life in trying to deal with people that I met that were dealing with depression. And I've always tried to deal with family and friends that were close to them to remind them the best thing you can do for them is not try to counsel them, although sometimes that's necessary, not try to pick them up by your own means, and don't try to preach at them. The last thing someone needs when they're depressed is you stand in their face and preach to them. You just need to get over this. Instead, get on your face before God, skip a few meals, and say, God, only you can fix this, and you fix this for them. Now look in the things of depression. Here's some of the symptoms of depression. Deep sadness or emptiness. Apathy. No pleasure in usual activities. Agitation, restlessness. Hyperactivity or inactivity. It works different in some people. For me, it's inactivity. I just want to do nothing. Sleep disturbances. Either you sleep all the time or you can't sleep at all. Weight appetite disturbances. Either you eat yourself to gain 50 pounds or you lose weight. It affects everyone differently. diminished ability to think or concentrate. When you get into a place of depression, you lose a clear mind. Everything looks different when you're depressed. Are y'all understanding me this morning?
Yes.
You don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to answer in your own heart. How many of you this morning have experienced depression like I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? I believe there's many in here, because I've never battled a message so hard as I've battled this message in many, many years. I told my wife, I said, this reminded me of years ago in evangelism when I was preaching a message to teenagers in a high school. The battle this week has been terrible because Satan did not want you to hear this. Because I know there's people in here that are battling depression. I know, because some of you already texted me this week and you've emailed me and told me, preacher, pray for me. I need what you're teaching. So I know this is imperative that God let me share this. Number 7, feelings of excessive guilt. You'll have this worthlessness. I'm no good for anything. This guilt. Feelings of fatigue and loss of energy. Morbid thoughts of death or suicide. Now let me stop here. I'm not going to deal with this. I don't have time this morning to deal much. But in deep depression, don't be surprised if suicidal thoughts are present. And if you say, I've never thought about suicide, either you're a great Christian, greater than anybody I've ever met, or either you're lying to yourself and lying to me. I don't say that you get to the place where you would do it, but suicide is a thought that Satan puts in everyone's mind when he gets your mind confused and you begin to think that I would be better off dead than I am alive if I have to live like this the rest of my life. Death becomes an option to you. But let me say this, in no ways, nothing, it doesn't matter how bad it is, there is nothing that makes suicide an option. Suicide's never an option. Suicide has so many ramifications. What it does to your family, what it does to your friends, what it does to the cause of Christ, the confusion it causes, and it does not solve your problem because you leave your problems behind for somebody else to clean up. So that's something that does happen. Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of men maketh it stoop. This feels like that you're hunched over, you can't stand up straight. That's depression. Now, there is an issue of depression versus demonic oppression, and I'm not going to get into that this morning. Some people face demonic oppression where the demons of hell are hounding you because of something in your life they use as an open door. That's different than depression, but demonic oppression can lead to depression. But depression in itself may not be a work of Satan alone. So just keep that in mind. Psalms 88, don't turn there. But when you get time, read Psalms 88. It's probably the most depressed chapter in the Bible. It's written by a man named Heman, H-E-M-A-N. And he is in a state of depression, and he writes it in chapter 88 of Psalms. Read that later. It may help some of you. Now look in point number 1. Men in the Bible who experienced depression or mental anguish. I just mentioned some. David. David was very depressed at times. Jonah. You wouldn't think Jonah would be depressed, but Jonah was. Jonah's sitting underneath a vine. He's upset because God's going to fix to save a whole nation. And he's aggravated and he's depressed. He's ready to die. Moses. You don't think Moses was depressed? Moses got so angry that he was willing. I mean, he said, God, I'm fed up with this crowd. And then when God said, I'm going to destroy the whole crowd, Moses interceded for him and said, blot my name out. Spare my nation. Spare this people. Paul, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. And I thought about this week. I was studying Jeremiah. I never thought about Jeremiah being depressed, but chapter 3 and chapter 20 shows us of a depressed prophet. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet, but he had times of anguish and times of sorrow and spirit of heaviness. The New Testament example is the Apostle Paul. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I just want to mention it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul was stoned to death at Lystra. And undoubtedly this may be referring to that time, because Paul said, whether I'm in the body, out of the body, I don't know, but I was carried up to the third heaven. But in chapter number 1 of 2 Corinthians, in verse number 8, he says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. You understand that phrase? Mm-hmm. Pressed down, squeezed like in a vise till we feel like we're about to fly apart at the seams. What did Paul say? Insomuch that we, what is it? Despaired of life. Is not that a man that sounds depressed? Would you think that about Paul? Wrote 13 books of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, the greatest preacher that lived in our New Testament history. Paul saying, I despaired even of life itself, that I wanted to die. That's the Apostle Paul. So depression is powerful. So these are men in the Bible we can look at and say, well, if they experienced it, who am I? I'm no better than they are. So don't think that you're in this by yourself. And don't think that you're not spiritual enough to handle it, because these guys were spiritual giants, but yet they had times of depression. Notice point number two, Roman numeral two. What's the characteristics of those that suffer depression? Number one's isolation. In Kings, 1 Kings 19, our text there, whenever Elijah got to a certain point and he's running from Jezebel, he left his servant and he went by himself. He wanted to be alone. Isolation is normal in depression. You want to be by yourself. Number two, or B, under B, the desire to die. How many people in the Bible despised the day of their birth? Job did. Job said he cursed his day that he's even born. So did Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 14. It says, he cursed the day I was born. And Elijah prayed, Lord, I request that you just kill me right here. They desire to die. Number C. Sleep, fatigue is a part of depression. 1 Kings 19 and verse 5 and 6, you see Elijah, what's he doing? Sleeping. He sleeps. He's asleep. He curls up under a juniper tree and he goes to sleep. Numbers D, a change in eating habits. What happened to Elijah? He's asleep. And God sent an angel and smacked him and said, Elijah, wake up. He said, you see the cake that's cooked and the water? He said, drink and eat. That's what he told Elijah. He didn't tell Elijah, pull out your pocket Old Testament and read a few chapters. He said, Elijah, start singing, oh, how I love Jesus. He said, get up and eat and drink. Then let him go back to sleep. Because that was, he knew where he was at. God sent an angel and said, you need to eat. And during depression, it's very important that above everything else, and I'm going to talk about a lot of other things if I have time, but when you get depressed, you cannot neglect food forever. You've got to nourish your body. Because depression is one thing, but if you go for so long and don't feed your body, it leads into physical problems, and that will magnify your depression. Can I get an amen there?
Yes, amen.
Under number E, fear. Fear and depression are almost kissing cousins, because this whole thing started with Elijah. You got a man that's standing in front of 850 prophets, 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets, whoever they were of, 850 total false prophets. He stands and ends up taking them all down to Kidron Valley and kills them all. One man, and he totally wipes out all of those false prophets. But one woman with a hatred for preachers said, before tomorrow at this time, you're going to be dead. I swear that's what's going to happen. She swore by it. And fear caused him to go into depression. Then under F, clouded thinking. Now in Elijah, go back in chapter 19 in 1 Kings, because I want you to see this. And this is so important in understanding where you are if you experience depression. Clouded thinking. In chapter 19 and verse number 14. Are you there? Say amen. He said in verse 14, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. He's telling God how good I've been. I've been jealous because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, slain prophets with the sword, and I'm the only one that's left. And they seek my life to take it away. Do you see the clouded thinking? Elijah's so mixed up in his thinking, he thinks he's the only one left. And God just reminded him of one little tidbit. Hey, Elijah, I got 7,000 prophets that's never bowed their knee to Baal. You ain't by yourself, buddy. 7,000 you don't even know about. His thinking was clouded. And when you get into a state of depression, your mind's going to be confused and you're going to think things like, nobody loves me. God's forsaken me. My church don't care. Nobody's called me. Nobody cares. That's the clouded thinking of depression. And then the last one under G, a sense of hopelessness. That's where Elijah got. He says, I'm the only one that's left. There's no hope. And they even take my life. So that's some of the things that you need to be aware of when you go through depression. Notice one universal truth. I wrote this down. The non-depressed rarely understand the pain that's involved in the feelings of hopelessness. They just think the person should pick themselves up and get over it. But it's not that easy.
That's right.
So many people downplay depression. Here's some of the attitudes people have toward depression. It's not in your notes. Christians shouldn't struggle with depression. If you really are saved, you shouldn't be depressed. That's a real punch in the gut. To look at a man or a woman that's been saved a long time, taught, preached, sung, active in church, and then to say to you, if he was a real Christian, you wouldn't be depressed. Well, don't tell Paul that. Yeah. Don't tell Jesus, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You say Jesus was depressed? He said he's in all points tempted like as we are. Yeah. How do you think Jesus felt when everybody forsook him? And even his own father turned his back on him when he cried from the cross. And for the space of 3 hours, the heavens were black and God turned his back. And Isaiah says it pleased the Lord to bruise him, stricken of God, smitten of God. And he cries out to his own father. And for the first time in eternity, he and his father are not on speaking terms. Jesus is all alone. And Psalm says the demons and the hounds of hell are dancing around where the crucifixion took place and punching Jesus and making false accusations against Jesus. He was acquainted with grief. Satan is attacking you. Just rebuke him. That's what some say. Just rebuke him. Just plead the blood over him. Well, that's good, and all those are true doctrines. But sometimes you don't have a power and the incentive to go toe-to-toe with the devil. You don't have that when you're walking with God. Because even Michael the archangel wouldn't even make a railing accusation against Satan. He said, but the Lord rebuked thee. So you just can't stand up when you're so defeated, so discouraged, and stand up and just use Jesus like a little amulet around your neck or a little rabbit's foot. Say, see this devil, I rebuke you. Grab your Bible that you hadn't read in 3 months and shake it in the devil's face. Say, I just plead the blood and claim the word. It doesn't work. So that's things people say to you. Then they say things like, you just need to pray harder. Boy, it's hard to pray when you don't know what to pray. It's hard to pray when you don't feel like praying. It's hard to pray when you get down and you can't pray. That's why the Holy Spirit makes intercessions with groanings. Aren't you glad when you can't pray, you got somebody praying for you? It may not be your brother, your sister, your mom, or your daddy, but the Holy Ghost is interceding. And thank God on the right hand of the Father, we got Jesus interceding. So that doesn't work. Then read more of your Bible. Just get your Bible out and read your Bible. When I went through my deep, dark depression, the last thing I wanted was my Bible. Don't look at me and say, well, you're just not much of a Christian. Don't look at me that way. Because if you ever go through deep, dark depression, the last thing you want to do is read your Bible. Now, you'll get to a place where you want it. But during that part of dark depression, the Bible's just a page of words to you. Because your mind's mixed up. God can't speak. Matter of fact, and I'm going to say this, I'm jumping ahead. But you ought to be thankful that God doesn't answer the prayers sometimes that you pray and doesn't respond the way that you think he ought to. Because instead of rebuking Elijah, God didn't say anything until he knew Elijah was listening. And even other men that had prayed prayers, because Elijah prayed, Lord, kill me. Aren't you glad God didn't answer that prayer? Because he knew he wasn't saying what was really true. He was mixed up. He was depressed. So read more of your Bible praying. And then here's a good one. I've heard this all my life. Just give it to God. And I know in principle, that's what we have to do. But when you're depressed, you can't do that. Go to the second page. I got to hurry. Some plain facts about depression. Depression is not due to immaturity. Don't ever think that. Paul was mature. Jeremiah, these prophets of old, they were mature men of God. So don't think it's due to immaturity. Depression is not always due to sin. Don't point a finger at somebody and say, well, if you're having depression or you're going through depression, you must have sinned somewhere. That's what Job's three friends told him, but he was impeccable. God said he was a man perfect, upright. He was mature. Nothing he had done. God just said to Satan, have you thought about Job? And Satan said, yeah, I have, but you got a hedge around him. I can't get to him. God says, I'll drop the hedge. You can have everything but his life and his soul. And Satan turned loose on Job. So it wasn't sin. Then see, depression can affect anyone, no matter what your age is or how spiritual you are. I know the pastor that was here before, Jody Jenkins. I've talked to him. I've read his book. Jody went through a time of depression, and he's not ashamed to mention that. But it's embarrassing for a preacher to finally come to the point where you have to admit that I get so depressed that I don't want to quit and give up. And you do a lot of things you regret. You hurt a lot of people. You hurt yourself. You hurt your testimony. But it doesn't matter how old you are, how spiritual you are. There's nobody in this room this morning, myself included, that is so close to God that you're exempt from being attacked with depression. If you think that, then you don't need to listen to anything else I say because you're hopeless to be taught. You're impossible to teach because you're full of pride. Pride alone says, this can't happen to me. Pride alone says, I would never do that. But none of us are exempt. Can I get an amen there? Under D, depression is not to be taken lightly. It's not to be taken lightly. Then E, depression is not a spiritual problem, but it can cause spiritual problems. Depression itself is not necessarily a spiritual problem, but it certainly causes spiritual problems. Now go to Roman numeral number 4. Instructions for those who are experiencing depression. This is it. This is the main point. Number 1, determine the source of depression. Is it biological? I don't know. You have to determine that, and you know yourself better than anybody. My doctor always told me, you know your body better than anybody. And you know whether it's spiritual, whether it's circumstantial, if you've gone through something to bring this on you, or if it is something going on in your body that you're not aware of. So you have to make the determination. It can be physical. If it is, seek help. But if it's spiritual or it's satanic or it's something that's come out of circumstances, then here's how you should respond no matter what. Number 1, first know that you're not alone. Now, I know that's hard to convince somebody that's going through depression, but you need to get this in your mind now for future references. You're not alone. The Bible's full of men that went through this. Our church is full of people that have experienced this. You're not alone. Others experience the same thing. God says nothing is taken you but such as is common to man. This is a common thing because we're human. We're depraved. Many Bible characters. Jesus was tempted like we are. So you're not alone. Number 2, realize depression is not a sin. Don't beat yourself up when you go through depression as though somehow or another you think, I must have done something wrong. I must have sinned. Because depression in itself is not a sin. It can be due to sin. It can be the result of guilt because of sin. It can lead to sin, but depression itself is not a sin. Number 3, for a time you may need rest and quiet away from the crowd and find refuge. When you get to a place where you're going into depression, rest is probably good for you for a time, but you don't want to stay there. Home, family, church is a refuge. Sometimes church is not an option. When you get depressed, sometimes church is marked off the list. But family and home, sometimes family is not on the list, except your spouse. If your kids and your kids are grown, just you and your spouse, sometimes you just want just you and her. You want to deal with it alone. But it's not a problem. That's not bad. Jesus even got away for days at a time because of the pressure. He went to the desert or the mountains to pray. So sometimes when you go through these dark times, you need to be alone and get some rest. But don't isolate yourself for long periods because he can give Satan an opportunity to take advantage of your weakness. Understand? Number 4, do not avoid the word for long. It's normal during depression to lose the desire for the word, prayer, music, and fellowship. That's normal. But do not avoid these for long. You need to get back with people. Get back to listening to music, reading the Bible. If you can't read it, put it on. Most of you have a smartphone. It'll read it for you. Turn it on, let it read it for you. Just put Psalms on. Put John. Put the story of Jesus, the Son of God. Just let him read the Bible. But don't be away from him like Elijah. Elijah was allowed to stay asleep and wake up and eat and go back to sleep for a while. But when the angel touched him the second time, I believe he kicked him, said, Elijah, get up and eat real good because you got a long journey. It's time to get back on the road. It's time to get moving, get back to routine. You got a job. So you rest, you isolate yourself, but for a season. Number 5, don't expect everyone to understand how you feel. Don't blow everybody off because they don't understand. Because some folks have never been where you are. Some folks have, but some haven't. And they may just brush you off and say, well, you know, especially family and friends, they're the worst. Friends can be the worst. Sometimes friends say the cruelest things. Sometimes church people say some of the dumbest things. Yeah. Yes. They do. Yes. You tell church, hey, how you doing? And you start to tell them, and then they come back with some stupid answer. Yes. I'm not being ugly. I'm being honest. Good people give dumb advice. And so don't get all caught up in the fact that not everybody understands where you are. Depression's the most misunderstood problem of all. People who never experienced depression will never understand. So be patient with people. Be patient with your family and friends. Number six, talk to someone that can and will understand. So who understands depression? If you've got a good pastor like we do, you can talk to him. I don't know if he's ever experienced depression. I never talked to him about it. He sent me a text last night and he said, I'm praying for you. He said, I believe that you're experienced and wise enough to be able to handle this, and it's going to be a blessing to a lot of people, and I appreciate him saying that, vote of confidence. I don't know if he's dealt with depression, but he's a good man with a lot of wisdom, so you could talk to our pastor. I don't think he would downplay what you're going through. I think he would pray with you and try to hold you up and encourage you. Sometimes a Christian counselor. I don't put a lot of confidence in Christian counselors, but there's a few. But if you get so bad that it becomes to the point like suicidal, things like that, then a Christian counselor, if there is one that's a fundamental Bible-believing Christian recommended by your pastor, then that may be an option. But most of the time, just somebody that's a close friend that's been through this is somebody you can talk to that'll help you share the burden. Page number three, we've got to hurry. Number seven. You see at the top of the page there, good people can give bad advice. That's true. Number seven, do not try to pretend to be spiritual. If you're going through depression, don't pressure yourself to try to pretend to be spiritual. I have faked it so many times, gone to church and I didn't want to be there because I was going through a dark valley. I put on a show, put on a face, trying to let everybody know everything's good. How are you? I'm great. And inside I'm dying. I've had people come to me and say, preacher, can I talk to you? I got a burden. And I want to scream out for my soul. You got a burden. You don't have a clue, buddy. But preachers do that. You've done it on the mission field. Yeah. I've talked to too many missionaries. I talk to missionaries out west. They go out west, going to turn the west upside down. And when it's 25 below zero one Sunday and 3 feet of snow, and nobody shows up but you and your three kids and wife, and the first thing you think is, I want to go back to North Carolina or Tennessee. Yes. So don't pretend to be spiritual, because sometimes even spiritual people have a tough time. Admit you're struggling. I mean, you don't have to complain. But just say to somebody that loves you, really pray for me. I'm struggling right now. If they asked why, I said, I'd just rather not talk about it. Just pray for me. Admit you're struggling. Number eight, rest in the fact that others are interceding for you. That's all that got me through my difficult time, was knowing they were people, even through my cancer. You know what got me through 2 years of cancer? I had good doctors, sure. But you know what got me through years of cancer? That woman right there, hearing her in her bathroom, weeping, calling me out, knowing I had a family and friends and a church family that was praying for me. Rest in the fact people are praying for you. There'll be people, I have met people in 50 years of ministry. I've met people that say, brother, about 3 months ago, God really burdened me over you. I don't know what you was going through, but I woke up one night, I was so troubled, and I spent all night praying for you. And I look at them and said, if you only knew. People all over the world praying. People are praying for you. Number nine, allow God to use your experience to help someone else. 2 Corinthians 1 says, the comfort that God gives you, use that comfort to comfort somebody else. If you go through depression, use that to help a brother or sister that's going through the same thing. I'm going to hurry, just hit the highlights. You got the notes, you can read them later. Number 10, expect Satan's attack during your bout with depression. He'll use doubt. If you were really saved, you wouldn't be going through this. He'll use guilt. He'll bring up your past and say it's all your fault. He'll use fear. You're going to die. You're going to lose everything. God can't use you because of this. Expect that to happen. Number 11, be prepared to go through this same thing again. Circumstances, physical, spiritual, chemical, these do happen. So expect this not to be a one-time deal. For many, depression becomes a weak link in your chain. It's a weak link in my chain. My daddy was a manic depressive. His answer was alcohol. He spent most of his 57 years drunk. That was his answer. He was a manic depressive, and he didn't know what it was, and nobody labeled it, but we know what it was, and we saw him try to drown it all in alcohol. And for many, alcohol, drugs, or illicit lifestyles is their answer. But they're so depressed. That's why many take their lives at such early age. Drugs and alcohol contribute to it, but it's because they have no answer. They're looking for a way out. Depression is so serious, it can lead to other problems. Look for the warning signs. Number 12, be careful here, and this is what I mentioned before. Be careful about suicidal thoughts. They are common in depression. And any suicidal thoughts are serious. Do not downplay anybody that tells you, I just wish I was dead. That's serious. Yes. Serious. You need to pray hard. Don't ignore them. Never let your mind become the conclusion that suicide's the only answer. This is the lie of the devil. Suicide does not solve your problems. It creates other problems. It's a tool of Satan. It's a total rebellion against God. Be prepared. People depressed do entertain thoughts of suicide. Then on the last page, number 4, Roman numeral 5, what does God's word say about help for depression? I got to hurry. Read it real fast with me. I'll say it fast. You listen fast. A, first consider this thing. God ignored Elijah's foolish prayer. He requested to die, and God says, no way, Jose. Under B, God sent angel to touch him in his depression. Hebrews 1:14 says, God has given us ministering spirits to minister those who are theirs of salvation. That's us. I'm not going to preach on angels, but I believe in angels. And God will send angels if you need help. I don't know how they work, but I know what this angel did. He touched Elijah and woke him up and said, eat and drink. There is angels that can help us in times of distress. Under sea, God prepared him a cake and a cruise of water. And he had to eat to strengthen himself. That's important. That's an answer. In depression, make sure you feed your body. Number D, God's angel touched him a second time. Aren't you glad for the second touch of God? The angel stayed with him the whole time. That's not necessarily said in the text, but it implies the angel never left him. He went back to sleep. Later on, after he slept a while, he smacked him again, said, wake up, Elijah, eat some more, because it's time to get back on the road. So God never gives up. The first touch may require a second touch. Then under E, he gave Elijah directions. He says, get up and eat. I want you to go to Hebron. He said, I got something for you to do. And it wasn't a quick fix. He was asleep for a long time, and he walked 40 days in the strength of that food. And then he got to number F. God continued to speak to Elijah the whole time. Verse 9, the word of the Lord came. Verse 11, he said, go and stand. Verse 13, a voice. Verse 15, the Lord said. So during these times of depression, listen for the voice of God. And how did Elijah hear God? It wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in the storm. Still, small voice. Then last of all, the Lord passed by in verse 11. When Elijah needed, the Lord passed by, and he heard that voice in verse 8. Number 8 says the Lord told him to go down now and anoint Elisha. He's going to take your place. Get back in the ministry. I've covered it real quick. I've only done just a small portion of what really needs to be covered. But I hope this will help you understand. And the main thing I want you to understand this morning, to you that may deal with depression, listen to me and I'm going to close. Don't beat yourself up if you deal with depression. It is common to everybody to experience it once in a while, some worse than others. Yes. But we do have a refuge, amen, in Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Father, this is a tough subject. God, I pray that something I've said today will help someone here. I know that churches are filled with people that are depressed and they're embarrassed. They feel hopeless and helpless. And so many of us preachers have been guilty of not dealing with it. But God, I pray this morning that this will give some the tools that they may need to get through a difficult time. If there are some here today that are depressed, even to the point of suicidal, Holy Spirit, please encourage their hearts today. Let them know above all that you love them and care for them. You won't rebuke them in this, but you want to love them. You're a God of compassion. Now bless in the worship hour now, and thank you for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.